Joe Pags Show. To talk to Joe, call 888-941-PAGS. And now, it's Joe Pags.
Great to have you. Thanks a lot for stopping by. There's a lot going on. There's a lot to get to. There's a lot to talk about. We've got plenty of time for your phone calls. In fact, if you're in a state that it's doing a primary today, I want to hear from you. I want to know what the turnout was. And I know a few. I know Missouri. I know Arizona. I know Michigan. There are some others. Carrie will give you the entire nuts and bolts in a second. But I want to know, if you're in the states where there are primaries today, did you go and vote? And when you went and voted, how was the turnout? I know there's excitement in Arizona. I know it's going to be big in Arizona. I think Michigan might be big, too, because the governor there, Gretchen Whitmer, is so horrible. She's just horrific, a horrible, horrible governor. Go and do something else. You should not be in public office. And I wonder what the turnout is in Missouri. There are some very close races there, too. So we'll talk about that in a second. If you've gone to the polls, if you've done that, and you feel like it, give me a call. I would love to hear exactly how it's going. I mean, if they're going to the polls, Carrie, what day does it have to be?
Tuesday.
It's Taco Tuesday.
What's that? Yep. And last week you almost got the good one, but then you nastied yourself into the other one.
I've been pretty mean today, taco. So I know which one I'm going to get.
Come on.
I didn't know.
Let's go. Little salsa, I'm ready to go. Uh-huh. No enchilada, no cheesy nachos. That's it. Taco Tuesday. The Joe Pags Show. Come on now. Mark Skelton getting it done. Just a great song. I think it's my favorite song, to be honest, Carrie.
No, not mine.
Now me and Polo, we like the hot sauce.
Uh-huh.
Joe like chorizo, because he's the boss.
That's right. Carrie. See, I should not have done that.
Oh, wow.
I don't know why.
Surprised.
I don't know why I let you off the hook, because... Have not been very nice. You called it, too.
I know.
Come on. It's Taco Tuesday on the Joe Pags Show. Come on, Taco.
It's Taco Tuesday on the Joe Pags Show.
Uh-huh.
I'm eating tacos with Polo.
Let's go.
Taco Tuesday. Taco Tuesday. Taco Tuesday.
Taco.
Come on, Polo.
Taco.
My man. See, Carrie, I'm in a good mood. Mm-hmm. I came in today, you know, both guns blazing. I was like, I'm not taking any crap from anybody. I'm old now. I will do what I want to do. I will play the Taco Tuesday song. I'll even be nice to you sometimes, you know,
can't
all that.
I believe that. I know.
Not even playing. Mm-hmm. All right. So I believe, because as we do, again, there are stations that run the show on delay. I'm not mad at that. I'm not complaining about that. I'm not saying this because of that. Sometimes people, well, why do you tell them what time you really do it? Because there's news happening as we're really doing the show. Right now, I'm in Central Time at 7:09 p.m. That means it's 8:09 p.m. in Eastern Time. I believe that means that Michigan is probably closed, the polls. In Michigan, I think they close at 8. I could be wrong, but I think they do. So we might start to get some results there. But Carrie, there are five today, right, that have primaries?
That is correct.
You don't mind, fill me in.
This is from NPR. August is a busy month for midterm election primaries with Arizona, Michigan, Missouri, Kansas, and Washington starting off the calendar on Tuesday. We're keeping an eye on races where former President Donald Trump's picks are in play and contests where he's targeted Republicans who voted to impeach him. We're also watching the number of 2020 election deniers who are on the ballot Tuesday, including two GOP candidates running for Secretary of State in Arizona, which President Biden narrowly won in the last election. All eyes are on Kansas, where voters will decide today whether to change the state constitution to potentially allow the legislature to further restrict or ban abortion. As of now, abortion is considered a fundamental right in the state thanks to a 2019 Kansas Supreme Court ruling. Earlier this summer in Michigan, Republicans in the state legislature introduced a measure that would enforce an abortion ban from 1931. Incumbent Democratic Governor Gretchen Whitmer has vowed not to let that happen and has made the issue a signature part of her campaign for re-election. On the Republican side, candidates include Tudor Dixon, a businesswoman and former TV commentator, chiropractor Garrett Saldano, and businessman Kevin Rink. Dixon, who is backed by former U.S. Education Secretary Betsy DeVos, and since this past weekend, Trump has had a lead in recent polling. In Arizona, the GOP gubernatorial primary, Trump has backed Carrie Lake, a former TV host who has spread lies about the 2020 election, while other
Wait, where's the source here?
NPR. This is NPR.
Right. Yeah, NPR lying her asses off. Go ahead.
Has spread lies about the election, while other Republicans, including former Vice President Mike Pence and current Governor Doug Ducey, have endorsed her main opponent, Karen Taylor Robson. On the Senate side in Arizona, Trump's pick is Blake Masters, former chief operating officer of the investment firm Thiel Capital. Masters' campaign has been boosted by millions of dollars from Peter Thiel, his longtime friend and a boss. Both Lake and Masters appear to have healthy leads in recent polling. Missouri, Trump opted not to make a last-minute endorsement in the race for Missouri's open U.S. Senate seat, instead backing Eric, a nod at two of the leading candidates, State Attorney General Eric Schmidt and
It's so silly. They're both named Eric. So when he put out the endorsement, everybody went, who the hell is he talking about?
Yeah, exactly. And in Kansas, the open race for Attorney General includes Kris Kobach, a former Secretary of State who unsuccessfully ran for governor in 2018. Trump has backed Kobach, who is a longtime ally of the former president. Also in the Republican field are candidates Tony Mativi, a former federal prosecutor, and State Senator Kelly Warren. Chris Mann, a former prosecutor and police officer, is unopposed on the Democratic side.
That was a mouthful. You did a great job with it. Yeah. So we've got Kansas, Missouri, Michigan, Arizona, and what's the last one?
Washington.
Washington State. Okay, not D.C. Right. Okay, so we've got... NPR should not get a dime of taxpayer money. You can say she's made allegations against the results in Arizona. You can't say who's been spreading lies about the election in Arizona. Couple of reasons. Number one, you don't know that what she's saying is untrue. And here's why I know that. Cyber Ninjas found that enough ballots were illegally placed, either by accident or on purpose, in Arizona, that would have given the win to Trump. Cyber Ninjas did that. It wasn't Carrie Lake. And then 2000 Mules, the movie, actually showed geo-tracking proof that people were stuffing ballot boxes. So the argument that that Arizona was a narrow win for Biden is one that is easily, at least, in question. So why not say Carrie Lake, who's been asking questions about the election, or Carrie Lake, who's been alleging that the election was illegally given to Biden? Carrie, in your years of being a journalist, have you ever said about a subject of your story that they've been spreading lies?
No, I have not. That's why, man, I knew as soon as I read that. Yeah, that's a problem.
What you and I would do as real journalists is we would say the Biden administration says they've been spreading lies. Big Tech's been saying that she's spreading lies. You can't, as the NPR reporter, say you're lying. You know what I mean?
Exactly. And I'm looking just to make sure because I usually don't like to do op-ed pieces, but this doesn't appear to be an op-ed piece.
And the line was, who's been spreading lies about?
That is correct.
There you go. All right. So Carrie Lake appears to be doing very well in Arizona. Before the show, full disclosure, I sent her a text. I said, kick some ass today. She hearted it. So she's happy with that. Masters looks pretty good in Arizona as well. The whole Eric thing in Missouri cracked me up. I mean, Trump is like, he's like having his, like the past few days, he's been like Mr. Funny Guy. It's very interesting because he had a bunch of people out at his golf club in Bedminster, including Tucker Carlson, including MTG. A lot of people are out there, and he's just been like in his glory. It's very interesting to watch. I think he's very close to announcing something. So having said that, you've also got the situation in Michigan where we had Tudor Dixon on, but I know that Saldana was doing pretty well, and there was like a Rinky or somebody who was up there as well in Michigan. But I'm hoping that Tudor Dixon comes out of this. Although there are some people say that she's moderate on some things, which I haven't seen. When I had her on, I did not hear that in her. So if she comes out of that, we'll have Carrie Lake on, we'll have Tudor Dixon on, we'll have Blake Masters on, we'll have Eric, who are the two Erics in Missouri? Does it name both of them, or just says that they're both named Eric?
It does. Let's see. It's Attorney General Eric Schmidt and former Governor Eric Greitens.
I don't think we've had Greitens on. We definitely had Schmidt on. Sam, we had Schmidt on, right?
I think so.
The Attorney General, I'm positive we've had him on, but I don't remember having Greitens on. So it depends. If the wrong Eric wins, we might have to have Greitens on. Or not right or wrong. I mean, just one Eric wins, we know the guy. The other Eric wins, we don't know the guy. I don't know anybody who's doing anything in Washington State, to be honest with you. I just don't.
Yeah, this story didn't even have Washington on it, actually.
Will you do me a favor and see if Karamo is on the ballot today in Michigan? We had Karamo on this show, and she was the one that got into the back and forth with some reporter in Detroit over what she believed was happening in the DTE Center or whatever it was that day where they were counting the ballots on Election Day, November 2020. Karamo, I think it's C-A-R-O-M-O. Yeah, Christina Karamo.
Let's see.
Was she on the ballot today? I think she was. She's running for Secretary of State, which I think would be amazing.
Correct.
Because she actually wants election integrity in Michigan. Let me know. You don't have to tell me now. All right, so if you're out in one of these five places, Washington State, Kansas, Missouri, Michigan, or Arizona, I want to know what the lines look like today. I want to know how busy it was today. Are people excited about this? Are Trump's picks all going to win? Was she on there today? Do you know?
I'm still looking. I want to say
I think today was. I think she was as well. But I'm not so sure if she was being contested in the Republican side. 888-941-PAGS, 888-941-7247, joepags.com. Either email me, tweet me, or call me right now. Let me know what the turnout looked like today. I'd like to know. Keep it here. Coming back.
Joe Pags.
Glad to have you. Thanks a lot for stopping by. There's a lot going on, lots to get to. Brianna Lyman at the bottom of the hour. She is from the Daily Caller. Looking forward to having her on for the first time. And great reporter. Got to go check out her work. Follow her, Brianna Lyman 2, the number 2, on Twitter, at Brianna Lyman 2. We'll have her at the bottom of the hour again. Stick around for that. Great information, great stuff to talk about. You're going to like what Brianna has to say. We appreciate her coming on today. Let me tell you about Eden Pure. Eden Pure gets it done. Eden Pure's got the Thunderstorm, the proven oxy technology. It is an air purifier that's going to make whatever scent it is that's going wrong in your house, going to make that go away, going to leave the scent of fresh, clean air like you get after a thunderstorm goes through. I want you to go check them out right now. Over 265,000 have already been sold. You know it works. Any odor is going to disappear when you use the Thunderstorm. Odors from litter boxes, trash cans, cigarette smoke, dirty diapers, and more. No match. And best of all, no filters to buy. So right now, you can save $200 on an Eden Pure Thunderstorm 3-pack for the entire home protection. Going to get 3 units for under $200. It's a fraction of the cost compared to other air purifiers that can go for over $600. Put one in your basement, your bedroom, your family room, your kitchen, or anywhere you need clean, fresh air. With a special offer, you're going to get 3 units for under $200. Go to EdenPureDeals.com and put in discount code PAGS3, P-A-G-S, the number 3, to save $200. That's EdenPureDeals.com. Discount code PAGS3. Shipping is absolutely free. Make that happen right now. Want to get reports directly from where you went? I guess in Washington, you don't go to the voting booths. Beth, fill me in. You guys don't have to go and vote?
No. About 10 or so years ago, the Secretary of State said that entire Washington will be mail-in ballots only. We do not do any voting polling places.
So what benefit is that? Why wouldn't you guys be able to go and vote on Election Day?
That's so that the Democrats, who are the ones who voted that in, will be able to cheat nonstop.
I mean, it's just that's kind of nuts. I mean, the people of Washington State said yes, or the Secretary of State did this on his or her own.
I think, I believe the Secretary of State did it on their own. I am not sure.
It's actually unconstitutional. I mean, the state legislature is the body that's supposed to decide what election laws are. The Secretary of State can't just make that decision.
Well, it might have been that the legislature, which has also been run by Democrats for a long time, voted it in. But I don't recall how it happened. I just know that 1 year we were going to voting places and the next year we weren't.
I don't like that. Beth, I appreciate you updating us from Yakima, KIT land. No, I don't like that. I don't like it because whoever receives the ballots is the one that gets to do whatever they want with the ballots. And I don't know if there's any observation going on there. I have no idea how it works. I would hope that they treat it like absentee ballots, which are you've got to verify who you are before you even get sent a ballot. Now, if they're sending out willy-nilly ballots like they did in 2020 in many states that were not to verified voters and verified citizens, that's a problem. I don't know how it works. Maybe they do it right in Washington State. I wouldn't like to believe that with all the lefty liberal radicals that are running that state, I wouldn't like to believe that it's working very well, because there's no way people in Washington want to live under this sort of tyranny. You know, the freaking governor, what an idiot this guy is. What's Inslee? I mean, come on, this guy. When he was running for president, I don't care what the question was, he talked about climate change. Really? Every single question talked about climate change. And the decisions that he's making out of the governor's office just don't make any sense to me. I would like to see you guys go to the polls. Why can't we go and vote anymore in this country? Why do we have to make it so? Why are we so immobile? We're so sedentary in this day and age. Get your ass up and go down and vote. You're telling me if I moved to Washington, I couldn't go vote at a polling place? There is no polling place. I think that's nuts. But again, if they handle it like absentee ballots, which you verify the person has the right to vote before they get a ballot, I'm actually better with that than I would be the way they did it in Michigan, where six, you know, ballots would show up in the mail that you can fill all of them out and just send them in. Rose, what does it look like in Michigan today?
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
You bet.
Well, I noticed that you were talking about the candidates for the governor, but I think you only mentioned three candidates. Is that correct?
I mentioned Saldano, Tudor Dixon, and Rinky, I think.
Right. There's two more because we have five total.
But I don't think the other two have a chance.
Brian Kelly and Ralph Rembrandt.
Well, who do you think is going to win?
Five total. I don't know. I really wasn't, you know, I didn't hear much about Tudor Dixon until just a few weeks ago.
Right.
I've been hearing, a couple of them guys, Saldano and Ryan Kelly, they've been out a year and a half pushing, campaigning. And I really thought that Trump would have given the endorsement to someone other than Tudor Dixon. I kind of liked her. I've been listening to all of them last couple of days all day long. And I like her, but I'm not sure she's strong enough, and I almost feel like she's got politicians kind of guiding her and so forth. So I just kind of had this gut feeling that we really wouldn't be grassroots. And at this point up here, we're done with it. We want grassroots all the way. So it's got to be like Saldano or Ryan Kelly. And actually Rinky, you know, when I listened to more of him, he sounded pretty good, and I considered him. But I ended up not going with him. But,
well, I had Tudor Dixon on four months ago. I wonder if you heard my interview with her here. I thought she was very good. And I liked her a lot. I thought she was very conservative when I talked to her. And I don't know why people are looking at her as establishment if America First President Trump likes her. You know what I mean?
Well, I think what I did like, and because, like I said, I just found out about her. So I probably missed the night you were interviewing her, because I listen to your show, try to every day.
Thank you.
And on the weekend. But as I listened to all of them, she talked about the things that she was not happy with, which agreed with a lot of my stuff. But when it came down to, like, okay, what are you going to do to fix it? When you get in there, what are you going to change? What are you going to look at? How do you think you can do this? I didn't hear those ideas out of her.
Gotcha.
You know what I'm saying? So I don't know if it's just maybe because she's, you know, this is kind of new for her. I think for all of these people, they were so upset with everything that happened. They're all standing up to kind of get in there. So none of them are past politicians. So this is kind of going to be a new game for all of them.
Well, Rose, I appreciate that. I've got a residence in Michigan. Thank you for the call and thank you for the nice words. But I can't vote there. I'm spend more of my time in Texas. So I vote in Texas. But my daughter lives in Michigan and she voted today. And I hope that somebody comes out of that race that can really beat the Democrat. You're going to have somebody from the Democrat machinery in Michigan, from Detroit, from Dearborn, from Hamtramck, from that entire area that is so blue and it has so much population, that's going to do all they can to keep that governor's office. That governor's mansion in Michigan that I've been to when Engler was the governor needs to go back to a Republican. You guys have to get back on track. Sorry, smoking pot, you know, at the local dispensary was not enough of a reason to vote for this Luna, for this lunatic. I was going to say loser, then I was going to say lunatic. So I called her Lunar. You know what I mean? Carrie, Lunar kind of does fit.
You think so? Okay.
I think so. All right, keep it here. Brianna Lyman, when we come back, stay here.
You're listening to Joe Pags.
Great to have you along for the ride. Thanks a lot for stopping by. Really glad to have this young lady on. First time that I've had her on, although we've been Twitter friends for a long time. It's Brianna Lyman. She is from the Daily Caller. Go to dailycaller.com. Look her up. She's a great reporter. Brianna, good to see you. How are you?
Joe, thanks so much for having me on.
I really appreciate having you on. You know, I'm floating around last night at 3 o'clock in the morning or something, and I see some post by you about the Second Amendment, and it seemed to be that you were going to start doing more of these vignettes. Do you do these daily, weekly? How often do you do these? I thought it was right to the point, 30, 40 seconds that really spelled it out, why the Second Amendment is so important. What is that a vignette that you've been doing for a while?
So actually, this is a new product. It's about 5 or 6 minutes a day. I'm currently editing one as we speak.
Right.
And then several topics, and that Second Amendment clip is my favorite clip of the first episode we released yesterday.
Okay, and how often will it come out?
Every single day.
Beautiful. I love it. I hope people will go and follow you right now. It's just your first and last name. It's at Brianna Lyman, right, on Twitter?
Twitter's Brianna Lyman 2.
Two, the number two?
Yes.
Okay, good. I hope so, too. All right, so go and follow her over there. Read everything she does in the Daily Caller. I want to get into a couple of things, and we'll talk about the angle on guns that you have in a minute. But this, I was off today, yesterday, my birthday. I'm 30, if you can believe it. Exactly right. I look it. But I try to stay away from politics all I could. But over the weekend, the stupid Inflation Reduction Act kept on showing up on Twitter. I mean, what the hell is the Inflation Reduction Act, knowing that they lie about the names of these acts? So this really won't reduce inflation, probably will cost us a bunch of money. But Brianna, it just dawned on me that Biden gets in office, signs 41 executive orders, ruins the economy on the way, starts raising regulations, raising taxes, potentially spending money he doesn't have, and now they're going to fix it with an act. Fill me in.
Joe, obviously, the only way to pull yourself out of a non-recession is to raise taxes, right? That's how you get out of inflation. And this Inflation Reduction Act of 2022, now the University of Pennsylvania's Penn Wharton budget model, they came out and they said this: it'll only cut deficits by $248 billion, which in the grand scheme of things, it's nothing. That's pennies. What does it matter?
Right.
And the best part, they say that inflation will increase through 2024 with this legislation. And then, if we're lucky, it'll go down after 2024. So I think the big question here is, why not, instead of putting in this piece of legislation, which really is just budget reconciliation that Democrats are shoving down your throats, why not put in more robust economic policies and see if that will lower inflation naturally, rather than putting in a policy that we are guaranteed to know will raise inflation?
You mean like lowering regulations and inviting business to come back and manufacture stuff here? Shut up. So in other words, 200 some odd billion sounds like a lot of money, but you're talking about a deficit that's in the trillions, and you've got a debt that's, what, $30 trillion now. So 200 billion isn't a whole lot of money. But I saw Joe Manchin arguing with Andrea Mitchell, who for some reason is still on NBC, and he was going on and on about how I pay 21% as a corporation, others should not have a loophole, we're trying to close the loopholes. In other words, they want to raise taxes on corporations, and the Daily Caller and my, you know, the businesses that I work for are corporations. If their cost goes up, then they won't have as much money to pay me or to expand brick and mortar or to hire more people. So this is going to exponentially hurt people on the bottom level. And also, wink, wink, nod, nod, people making $400,000 a year or less are going to, they're going to necessarily have to pay more taxes, or else you can't pay for this bill or this act, right?
Absolutely. And there's a few parts you have to think about this. First of all, anytime taxes are raised on corporations, it's always off put onto the consumers. Okay. The prices of goods will rise. I know you know that. You've been around longer than I have. So you've seen that these policies that they're suggesting don't actually work. Now, when it comes to establishing a minimum corporate tax rate, it disincentivizes people to invest domestically. So you do see corporations end up shifting overseas. And while there will be corporations that will stay in the United States, these are billion-dollar companies. They have the best lawyers in the world. They know how to get around this. Whether they close this loophole, there's other loopholes. And the only thing this does is, again, shift the burden onto the consumer. So Biden can talk all he wants, and nobody under $400,000 is going to have a single penny increase. He's dead lying to your face.
Yeah, he is. And when Manchin says, and when Biden says, and when Schumer says, they should pay their fair share. Schumer would say fair share. And then you've got Elizabeth Warren, who's just, I think she's drunk most of the time. I think she might be lit. But when she talks about people paying their fair share and yells in her strange voice, that's bogus because, as you know, the top 1% pays almost 40% of all taxes. The top 10% pays almost 70%. So if we're going to raise the corporate tax, which corporations aren't people, the people in the corporation are being taxed already, but let's add a corporate tax on top of it because we want to, you're going to not only affect the consumer price, as you said very wisely, but you're not going to be able to hire as many people. You might have to lay some people off. And when they push for things, the dumb things that hurt the economy, like $15 an hour to flip the burgers. Well, McDonald's will just get a machine to flip the burgers. We'll get a kiosk to take your order. We'll have an ATM at a bank instead of a teller. I mean, that's really what it is. In other words, these economic moves on paper might look okay, but they're going to hurt the consumer and the end worker, aren't they?
Absolutely. And kind of talking about this whole thing of your fair share, tell me, what is your fair share of what I have worked hard to earn? I mean, where is the logic of that kind of ludicrous idea? And the only reason they push that is because they want a globalist society. They want us to go and descend into socialism because that's how a socialist economy works. And again, when it comes down to consumers, like you said, aside from consumer prices going up, people will be laid off, these giant companies. I mean, I go to McDonald's now and I'm doing a kiosk already. They are cutting down. And it makes sense. If you're a business, your goal is to make money. And if the government wants to put in place these types of restrictions and these types of regulations, it's going to hurt businesses. And the businesses aren't going to be the ones that hurt the most. It's going to be the American people.
Follow her on Twitter at Brianna Lyman 2. Also follow every story that she does. She's a reporter at the Daily Caller's Brianna Lyman. Brianna, I appreciate you. Yeah, it's interesting because I saw Will Smith several years ago, way before the slap, was on television in France. And the French interviewer said, you know, what do you think about the tax rates in the United States? He said, well, I would pay more. And the interviewer said, well, would you pay 40%? He said, yeah, I'll pay 40%. Would you pay 50? He said, yep, I'll pay 50. Would you pay 75? Whoa, wait a second. I'm not paying 75. So there is a limit to whatever your fair share is. And my question has always been, if Will Smith wants to pay 50%, why doesn't he? Nobody's stopping you from writing IRS, U.S. Treasury, and put whatever amount of money you want to put on there. But for some reason, Brianna, they want you to do it too. That somehow will make them feel better. It's weird.
Yeah, they can't put their money where their mouth is because they want to hold on to their money. You know, I my former boss, very rich man, very wise man, but he's the same kind of person. He said he would have no problem putting more money into taxes. And I asked them the very same question. And here's the thing. They don't take the initiative. They need government to kind of dictate their lives. And that shows the difference, I think, between Democrats and Republicans. Republicans want a government that is hands-off. They want limited taxation, whereas Democrats need to be coddled day in and day out. And they are just throwing their money at the government, thinking government knows best.
Yeah, and it doesn't. I'm here to tell you, Brianna's here to tell you, government doesn't know best. That story that you wrote with the Manchin clip with Andrea Mitchell, was interesting to me also because he didn't just say that he is or isn't supporting Biden in 24, started yelling about how he wasn't going to talk about it. Brianna, what is this about these lefties, these Democrats, like to a person? Like Cori Bush last week wouldn't say she supports Joe Biden. What's going on?
They're scared. The Democratic Party is a sinking ship, especially the Biden administration. It's not like you have a good president or a bad president or a good vice president. You have two people, Kamala Harris and Joe Biden, whose approval ratings, one lower than the next. Kamala Harris's approval ratings lower than Joe Biden. And Democrats are scared to throw their support around this administration because they've accomplished nothing. So if you throw your support around them, it clearly shows that it's just for political purpose. Second of all, how is Joe Manchin going to go back to West Virginia voters and say, yeah, I support a president that's basically sunk the economy and hurt you individuals, but I'm going to support him? It looks bad. It's bad policy. It's political posturing when it comes down to it.
But his way out of it was, I'm not talking about it. It was very weird. I've never seen Joe Manchin so animated. I thought you did a great job writing the story up. Brianna, what do we make of Joe Manchin? I've often said on my show, and this is going to delve into opinion, and if you're not comfortable with it, let me know. But I often say on my show, why doesn't the Republican, that pack of people, go over to Manchin, buy a martini, whatever they have to do, and say, listen, man, just caucus with us. Because then they can stop this 50-50 crap where Kamala Harris gets the vote. I mean, is he really as conservative as he pretends? Because this vote in and of itself proves that he's not. But is he or is he not? Because he's got me wondering day to day, I like him, I don't like him politically. I don't know the guy personally. I like what he says here, I don't like what he says here. He's dead wrong on this thing. But who is he really? Do we know? Is he really just that middle-of-the-road guy that will go as the wind blows?
I think he is. And I think what a lot of people, especially in 2022, we fail to realize is that there used to be a whole Democratic Party of Joe Manchins, right? He yeah. wasn't the outlier. Now he's the outlier because the party has been overtaken by these radical progressives. But Joe Manchin was the quintessential Democrat. And I think that's why it's so easy for him to remain a Democrat in West Virginia and get elected when those voters, you know, independent voters like Joe Manchin. Why? Because he's not hard left. He's not hard right. And he is right down the middle. And I do think that, again, if Joe Manchin ran for president in 2024 and there was a crappy Republican candidate up against him, I could see a lot of Republicans voting for Joe Manchin, myself included. I think this is a guy that knows how to compromise.
I'm going to ask you something off the beaten path because you just talked about the 2024 election, maybe a crappy Republican candidate. It just made me think of Mike Pence. And I don't think Mike Pence is crappy. I've had him on the show. But I think it's kind of dumb that he's going against the America First people. But if he somehow were to come out, and I don't think he's going to, but you suddenly have like a Fox News not talking to Trump at all. And anything, if Mike Pence farts, they talk about him. So do you think that that's going on? Do you think the networks are saying, let's push for Pence because he's beatable? And this Trump train might not be able to be stopped. Any thoughts on that in your reporting? Mike Pence suddenly is doing counter rallies in Arizona. That's weird.
It is weird. It's the same way that on Tuesday, what was it, last week, him and Trump both gave speeches in D.C. at separate events. Mike Pence was riding the coattails of Trump, obviously. This is a man that nobody really knew of. Yeah, he was the governor. But did he make actual big waves beforehand? Absolutely not. He was just a quiet mouthpiece that Trump had on board. And I do think it would be inappropriate for him to run. I think it'd be a waste of money for him to run. We all know that if Donald Trump is running, Donald Trump is winning. That's a guaranteed fact. The only person that could give Trump a run for his money would be Ron DeSantis. And I do think that the media is trying so hard to almost escape from Trump because they don't want to be associated with him. But guess what? Americans are so sick and tired of corporate media dictating how they're supposed to think. They don't care anymore. Let Fox ban Trump. Let all these outlets say we don't want to deal with him. Trump will reach the American people regardless.
It's Brianna Lyman. Go and follow her, Brianna Lyman 2, over on Twitter. Are you on Getter? Are you on Truth? Are you on the other ones too or no?
You know, I got to say I'm on Getter and I don't remember my username.
Okay. Well, I don't know if you follow me there. I'm at Joe Pags. Follow me. And actually, I'm at Joe Talk Show on Getter. Follow me and then I'll tell people where you are over on Getter. Interesting about Ron DeSantis. DeSantis is at Mar-a-Lago a lot. Those two get along, yet the media does report that there's some butting of the heads. I think it will be one or the other. People who are saying it's going to be Trump DeSantis, I think, are wrong. I don't think DeSantis would stop being the governor of Florida, where he's done an amazing job, to be the vice president. And something that you mentioned about Pence, I never heard the guy's name, although I do this for a living. I never thought about him as the governor of Indiana until he became the vice presidential nominee, and then we had him on the program and everything else. He wasn't making any waves at all. I don't know why he's the quintessential establishment sort of guy now. But even back to what you said about Manchin, Manchin's a blue dog. Manchin is a typical blue dog Kennedy Democrat, and you're probably right. He doesn't understand why more Democrats aren't agreeing with him on a lot of what we're talking about. But can you imagine a Manchin versus Pence? To me, that'd be awfully boring. But it'd be hard to know who to vote for, to be honest with you.
I agree. It would be boring, but I will say I do think that Manchin would get most of the votes because think about all the Republicans that are dissatisfied with Pence, not because of the electoral certification, but because of the fact that, yes, he may support an America First policy agenda, but people are sick and tired of political correctness. And I think Pence embodies that whole PC culture that Americans are sick and tired of. And while Joe Manchin is also fairly politically correct, I feel like there's a more of a sense of honesty coming from him because he swings both ways. So he puts politics aside, he puts party aside, and he puts America first, and that's what every politician should be doing.
Yeah, he literally told Andrea Mitchell, I'm going to vote for the person that I agree with more.
Yeah,
and right, he wouldn't say it was going to be a Democrat, which is interesting. It's Brianna Lyman. Go in, and read everything she does on the Daily Caller. These amazing vignettes, I love these. Keep on doing them every day. Go check her out on Twitter. I'm Ghost Band. I don't think you are. So people can actually see your stuff, which is awesome. Go and check it out. We'll figure out what her username is on Getter as well. One last thing. The vignette you did last night that I saw was on guns. I'm thinking it was 35, 40 seconds. It wasn't very long, right?
Very short, and I make this very simple claim that I will hammer in and day out. A victim of gun violence does not nullify your right to keep and bear arms, does not nullify your Second Amendment right.
Let me ask you this, because you're right. What you just said is, it hit me. I was half asleep, didn't shave, had a big birthday, ate too much, the whole thing. I was like, damn, she nailed that. And I think that I responded, I said, nailed it. That was it. It was so spot on. Because that's the game, isn't it? The left media will take, look at this mall shooting, or look at this grocery store, or look at this. And we hate all of that. Nobody wants any of it. Look at this school shooting. Nobody wants that. But at the end of the day, how does that affect me, a law-abiding citizen that never would have done that and, in fact, would have tried to stop that had I been there with my gun? How does that take away what the Second Amendment says shall not be infringed? How have they gotten away with that, do you think?
Very simple. They have politicized, for instance, they've taken AR-15 to mean assault rifle when it really means Armalite rifle, right? That's a company. So they've just misbranded every single thing when it comes to guns. And the fundamental difference between 2022 and I would say maybe even, the 1700s, the 1800s, is that when the Second Amendment was put in place, there was this thing called a citizen soldier ethos. Americans felt that to have a piece of the pie in America meant that you were ready to put your life on the line without the government telling you you have to serve. You just did it because you loved America. And people have lost that sense of patriotism throughout the past few centuries. And unfortunately, it has now turned into the idea that you don't need a gun because the government is there to protect you. That's not what the founders intended. And that is certainly not what a majority of freedom-loving Americans want.
We still might be English colonies had King George not said, go and confiscate the guns. So we said, well, no, you can't have my gun. And the whole stupid argument, I call it the Piers Morgan argument, about muskets doesn't make any sense because the government didn't have, F-22s. They had muskets back then. So, of course, the citizenry, to keep them in line, to stop tyranny from ever popping up again, wasn't about deer hunting, wasn't about shooting target practice. This was about stopping tyranny. We had the same guns as they did. And then the dumb answer will be, well, do you want citizens to have rocket launchers? I don't know. If I can carry it and it could stop the government from taking away my freedom, perhaps we should look at that. Antonin Scalia said, if I can hold it, then I can keep it, then I can bear it. So every individual state, and again, you were short and sweet, right to the point last night, which I really loved, but every individual state thinks they get to individually infringe on our rights. There are different laws where I'm sitting than where you're sitting, than where a lot of people watching and listening are sitting right now. How did they get away with that, do you think? Because it says shall not be infringed. And it's literally in the Constitution, unlike abortion, unlike gay marriage. How did they get away with it?
Joe, I want to say I wish I knew the answer to that. Yeah. And like it was Clarence Thomas who said, the Second Amendment is not a second-class right, but it's suddenly been relegated to that. And when you talk about the whole musket thing, people have to remember, there were no grocery stores. You didn't go to Stop and Shop. You didn't go to Giant. You hunted for food. Why would they have ever put in the Constitution, yeah, you can go hunt for food? That would have made absolutely no sense.
Right.
Ever want to talk about that. And like you said, the government had muskets, we have muskets. As time evolves, so do weaponry. I mean, that's like the same thing of saying freedom of speech. Well, freedom of speech has evolved and this is now offensive, so you can't say that. Absolutely not. The Constitution was meant to stand the test of time and not change with time.
Very, very well said. It's Breonna Lyman. Go and follow her at Breonna Lyman 2 over on Twitter. Go to thedailycaller.com and check out the story she does every day. Excellent job today. I really appreciate you coming on. Let's do it again soon.
Joe, thanks for having me.
You bet. We're back after this. Stay right here.
This is the Joe Pag Show.
I appreciate you stopping by. Make sure you stop by. We did figure it out. It's Breonna Lyman 2, the number 2, on both Getter and on Twitter. Let's do some pop culture. Pop. Dirty pop. Hey, Polo, talk to me.
So I don't know if you saw this story. Naomi Judd apparently didn't leave anything to her daughters, Ashley or Winona.
Wow, I did not see that. Nothing?
Nothing.
Who gets it?
Her husband. But reading the story, it could partially be because for tax purposes. But it's still kind of weird.
That is weird. All right, we got to get out of here. That's Polo. That's Sam. That's Carrie. I'm Joe. We'll see you tomorrow. Bye.
This is the Joe Pag Show.